studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, this week on Abounding Grace, we're going to go back to Philippians chapter 3 and look at what the Apostle Paul outlines for us as what it means to be a citizen of heaven. And I begin this series this week with discussing a little bit with you the timeless classic that was written by John Bunyan called The Heavenly Footman. In this book, he really pressed his people to run with all of their might for heaven. And in the book, he outlines the many reasons why we must run with endurance this race that is set before us so as to win the prize. And you'll know that in the past few weeks, Paul has really been pressing us in Philippians chapter 3 to run this race so as to win the prize. He pictures himself as a runner, running with endurance, reaching forward, straining forward to the finish line. And that is what he pictures as the Christian life, attaining to that which he has not yet attained to, straining forward to embrace Jesus Christ. Christ, who is the goal for him, the prize that he's running for. And so John Bunyan said in this book, which takes up the same theme, he says, "They who will have heaven must run for it." Now listen to this. "Because the devil, the law, sin, and death, and hell follow behind him." And then Bunyan goes on to say there never is a poor soul that is going to heaven that does not have these opponents right behind him trying to pull him back to the world. And how true that is. When we look at the temptations the Christian faces, all the things that are set before him, he is constantly being pulled back to the world. But it was something at the very end of this discourse that Bunyan wrote about the heavenly footman that really moved me. And I want to spend a minute and let this sort of be the launch pad from which we look at this subject this week. Listen to what he said. "When Lot and his wife were running from cursed Sodom to the mountains to save their lives, it is said that his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And yet you see that neither her practice nor the judgment of God that fell upon her would cause Lot to look behind him. I have sometimes wondered," says Bunyan, "at Lot in this particular. His wife looked back behind her and died immediately, but Lot would not so much as look back behind him to see her. We do not read that he so much as once looked where she was or what was to become of her. His heart was indeed upon his journey. And well it might. There was a mountain before him, and the fire and brimstone behind him. His life lay at stake, and he had lost it if he had but looked behind him. Do thou so run," says Bunyan. "And in your race, remember Lot's wife, remember her doom, and remember for what doom did overtake her. And remember that God made her an example for all lazy runners to the end of the world, and take heed that you do not fall after the same example." Now, what is so grabbing about Bunyan's statement is the picture that Bunyan paints. I mean, with the words of the Bible, you can picture this whole thing as sort of a painting. Lot's wife stops, she looks back at Sodom and Gomorrah, but Lot, instead refusing even to turn and look back for his wife, he knew that behind him was fire and brimstone, and yet before him was the mountain of Zoar. He was so set on what was before him that he ran at all costs without looking back, for if he had looked back, it would have cost him his life. And my friends, that is exactly what the Apostle Paul is teaching us in the whole application of everything he's been saying to the Philippians. Run, strain forward for the goal of the upward call of God in Christ. Don't look back. Forget those things that are behind, but rather strain forward to the things which are ahead, for your calling is an upward one. It's a heavenly one. Now you hear that. You would think that would be the aspiration of our souls, wouldn't you? Have you really thought what is to come, my friends? If you are a Christian today, have you really thought what is to come? Have we really understood the implications of what it means to belong to the other world? Surely we have not stopped and reflected enough on what is ours by right as adopted sons even now. We've heard, of course, of this place called heaven since the earliest days of our childhood. We've been told that there is this other world, this other city that God has built. This place of bliss and this place of happiness, joy and comfort, where no more shall we cry and no more shall we feel pain, wherein all the former things shall have passed away. The corruptions that lie deep within our members and our bodies will not be known in this place called heaven. Gates of pearls and streets of gold, seas of glass like crystal, all things new, a city that actually has foundations on a great and high mountain, the Lord's Harmageddon, the great city, the new Jerusalem, of which we heard and read about in the Bible time and time again. Not, of course, the shadowy sketch of that great city that sits over in Palestine today, that Jerusalem. That city is full of corruption and misery due to the fall, due to rebellion, due to rejection of the Lord. But this city is God's heavenly city that Paul said is the Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all. This is in existence, this very moment, where we read in the book of Hebrews where the spirits of just men have been made perfect. Nothing that defiles or corrupts can enter this city. The nations cannot rage against her. The kingdoms cannot be moved against this city. This city is unshakable. It is the city that has, as Revelation says, light like that of a most precious stone, like a jasper stone. Clear as crystal it is, called the city of the living God. God is in the midst of her, says Psalm 46, and she shall not be moved. It has no sun nor moon, for the very glory of God illuminates the whole thing. The river of life is there, clear as crystal. And in the middle of the street is this tree of life. In the middle of the street of this city, that once, of course, remember, after Genesis chapter 2 and 3, had flaming swords swinging back and forth with the cherubim, there to ensure that fallen man could not partake again. But this tree is on each side of the river, open to freely partake of this tree that Christ has made available to all of those who have overcome through his blood. And there's absolutely no curse there. No night, no darkness, no feeling of emptiness, no depression, no more sin. But Jesus Christ is there with the Father and the Holy Spirit on his throne and has prepared this grand feast for all who love him. And this glorious heaven will be the reality of what is described in Isaiah 66 that says heaven will be a place where nothing former, no more will. Maybe some of you have experienced this, be ravished by the pain of an infant dying only a few days old, or a loved one who's not lived a full and long life. How many die of cancer or so many things young? That will not be in this place. Houses shall be built, vineyards shall be planted, according to Isaiah 66. We will enjoy the fruit from this heavenly city. It shall not be that you will work for a lifetime, and all of it will be lost by death and go to another. Most of all, you even will call out to your God, even before you do, and he will hear. He will answer. You will speak to Jesus Christ face to face. Peace like a river will guide your way. Nothing more shall hurt nor destroy in his holy mountain. Eye has not seen, says the apostle, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now we've heard this. You hear this beautiful description, and if you're like me, you're in awe over what the Bible describes. But let me ask you today, do you really run for this? I mean, here is a real test of our Christianity, isn't it? Are we really straining forward for this? As Paul is saying, this is the Christian life, straining forward so as to win the prize, to be with your Christ in heaven. If Jesus were to return on the clouds of heaven this very moment, and your very name was brought before his throne, would it be evident that you were straining forward like Lot to Zoar, to the mountain of God, or like his wife, always looking back to the world? Isn't there a reason Jesus had to say in Luke 9:62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God? Have we become lazy and complacent in this pursuit? We must ask ourselves such a question, for the Apostle Paul has been pressing all of us to such a pursuit of the Christian life. You see, Paul's final appeal to these Philippians in chapter 3, as this chapter is concluded here in verses 20 and 21, was to firmly impress upon their hearts that their citizenship was in the place that I just described. What we just looked at and what we just evaluated in light of the Bible about this beautiful place called heaven is not something sort of out of our reach until we finish this life. At least that's not how the Apostle Paul views it. But as he's going to say, an understanding that this place is where your citizenship is right now. When you live believing it, it has huge implications for the present. And Paul is saying to us today, we must strain forward to where our heavenly home really is. And that's exactly what he says as he breaks into this final appeal, this final application to the Philippians to press on with this Christian life in light of your trying circumstances, in light of the pain, in light of the trial, in light of all of your sufferings. He says, here's the perspective you have. Listen to verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Now that is just a mouthful in just a few words. The "for" there is so important. For our citizenship is in heaven. It's set in direct contrast to those whom he's just described who do not have their citizenship in heaven, but rather set their minds on earthly things, meaning their whole lives are governed and controlled by what John calls the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Paul said their God is their belly, meaning their lusts and their impulses drive them in their pursuits. And that's what we're left with today. This glorious heaven is laid out for all of those for whom Christ has died for and given himself, and those who have called out to him in this day of salvation. He is calling you now to go forth in the assurance and the comfort to know that that is yours by right as a citizenship of there. What are you searching for today? Where is your heart? Where is your treasure in this life? Is it for this world? Well, then you will perish. Oh, but if you have placed your trust in Christ alone, you have already by right, as an adopted son, become a member of this heavenly kingdom which cannot be shaken. Do you want to know this Jesus today? Believe in him and come to know the joy and the comfort and the life of peace that comes through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429, or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. While you're there, pay us a visit and check the website out. We've got a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at United Reformed Church of Linden. Again, that's lindenurc.com. If you're writing to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is the zip code. And again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you were invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.